Welcome to the deep dive. So today we're going to explore something called reformational philosophy.
That's right. We're looking at the ideas of, you know, Abraham Kuyper, Vollenhoven, and Dewey Weird.
Exactly. And we're using a book that lays out this whole tradition as our guide.
Our mission really is just to get a good grasp of the core ideas and where they came from, historically speaking.
Okay, let's jump right in.
Well, the interesting thing is the roots go way back to the Protestant Reformation, actually.
John Calvin, specifically.
Yeah, Calvin. He really hammered home God's sovereignty over everything. He saw the world as the theater of God's glory.
So not downplaying the created world at all.
Not at all. Quite the opposite.
And two things really stand out from Calvin, right? God's rule over everything, like universally.
Universal sovereignty. And also religion as a covenant.
A relationship between God and humanity. And grace wasn't just, you know, sorry you messed up. It was about restoring creation itself.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which then leads us forward a bit.
To Abraham Kuyper, late 19th century.
Right. Kuyper takes these Calvinist insights and really builds them into a whole Weltanschauung.
That's the German term, meaning like a worldview.
Yeah, comprehensive world and life view. It was kind of his answer to the challenges coming out of the Enlightenment.
And for him, this wasn't just head knowledge, was it? The book stresses it was a total personal commitment.
Definitely. His own life story is crucial here, you know, starting with liberal theology.
Then that conversion experience after meeting Pietro Baltus, embracing Orthodox Calvinism.
Exactly. Which led to his focus on inner transformation, this palingenesis centered in the heart.
The heart being that core religious center. That seems really important for the later guys too, like Vollenhoven and Dewey Weird.
Absolutely. And Kuyper wasn't just thinking, he was doing. Leading the Dolianti church split, found the Anti-Revolutionary Party, the Vrije Universiteit, he was deeply involved in social and political life.
So what was this Enlightenment context he was pushing back against?
Yeah, that's key. The Enlightenment brought this wave of skepticism. Think Voltaire's Écraser l'Enfant.
Crush the infamous thing, meaning the church.
Right, or Rousseau's doubts.
Yeah.
There was this tension, this pull between valuing personal freedom and the rise of scientific rationality.
Human reason, Descartes' cogito, was suddenly front and center.
And that opened the door to more atheistic, materialistic views. You get Feuerbach, Nietzsche saying God is dead.
Plus, a more clockwork, mechanistic view of the universe, thanks to Newton and then Darwin.
Yeah. And the reformational thinkers looked at all this and basically said, hold on, this Enlightenment worldview is, well, it's unstable. It contradicts itself.
So Kuyper's big counter was this concept of the antithesis.
Exactly. A fundamental split in humanity, obedience versus disobedience to God.
Kind of echoing Augustine's two cities, Civitas Dei, Civitas Terrena.
Very much so. But crucially, the Civitas Dei, the city of God, isn't like an institution or a church building.
It's more a dynamic orientation.
Yes, a reorientation of your whole stance towards God.
Yeah.
And it's driven by the Holy Spirit, not just, you know, thinking really hard about it.
Okay, so bringing it all together, the book highlights three main themes that came out of this. First, the individual standing before God, Coram Deo.
Right, and what's interesting here is how they critique the old Greek idea of substance.
Oh, so?
Well, the worry was that seeing things as having their own independent substance, like Aristotle or even Aquinas used it, maybe even Descartes, it kind of detracts from the idea that everything utterly depends on God, moment by moment.
Ah, okay. So instead, they emphasized humans as these integrated wholes.
Yeah, with the heart as that religious core. And the idea that all created things have, like equal ontic status, equal reality, and their direct dependence on God. No hierarchy of being in that sense.
Interesting. Okay, second thing.
The irreducible plurality of the world. Lots of different aspects to life and society, all under Christ the Son.
Moving beyond just nature versus grace.
Right. They preferred thinking in terms of creation and recreation. It's all part of God's work.
And this is where sphere sovereignty fits in.
Yes, Kuyper's idea. Though it's a big complex. The basic thought is that different areas of life, family, state, church, art, science, have their own God-given authority and shouldn't dominate each other.
But they're all under God's ultimate authority and law.
Exactly. Kuyper laid the groundwork, but Dewey Weird especially developed a more systematic theory of these different societal spheres or aspects.
Okay, and the third theme?
History having a purpose, driven by the Holy Spirit. This involves God's grace working in two ways.
Particular grace for salvation.
And common grace. That's the Spirit's work in the wider world. restraining sin, allowing culture, science, art, all that stuff to develop positively, even among non-believers.
So it's not just about saving individual souls, but restoring the entire cosmos.
Precisely. It breaks down that sharp divide some people make between the sacred and the secular. All of life is religious, in a sense, and redeemable. All of it can be transformed according to God's purposes.
Right. It's a very holistic view. So wrapping up, maybe the thought to leave you with is this. How could this reformational framework, you know, with its emphasis on God's sovereignty over everything and the interconnectedness of life, how might that give us a different lens on today's challenges?
Yeah, on all the different ways we live and work and create.
What does it actually mean for you listening now to think about every single square inch of existence, as Kuiper famously put it, as belonging to God?
Something to ponder.
Definitely. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us today.